know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast, What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Friday afternoon. Welcome into Grant and Danny live from our Half Street Studios in the Navy Yard near Nats Park, downtown in D.C. You are listening to The Fan. We will take you up to about 6:35 and Nats baseball. They're in Baltimore tonight. Interleague intrigue. They are playing the rival Baltimore Orioles up 95.
It ain't like anybody's playing great baseball here of late within, say 40, 50 miles of where my voice is broadcasting from right now. Both the Orioles and the Nats are scuffing a wee bit. So this is one of those somebody has to win type series.
Darius simmed the Commanders 2025 football season. The results were not what you were hoping. I can just tell you in advance. You'll hear from Darius on his Madden simulation of the 2025 Washington Commanders. A television star.
Yeah, you talk about television star Darius Dameron?
That's him.
That's our guy.
That's coming up at 2:45 today. We are going to play a game called Does Grant Know the Band? You guys are going to play very famous rock songs that I'm supposed to know.
Yeah.
Who sings those songs? Who performs those songs?
Mm-hmm.
I will not know most of the answers to those questions.
But every once in a while, he knows one, and that's why the game is so spicy.
Does Grant Know the Band today at 5 o'clock? We'll be giving away DC Defenders tickets at that time. But Danny, we've got to start with the Washington Capitals. I was in the barn last night at Capital One Arena, and I took that very familiar walk on the plank.
Yeah.
Out of Cap One. I was saying to the fellas earlier, Darius and Ryan and CK, as we were kind of hanging out in the studio a little bit ago, I can't tell you how many times I've done that. Last night, sitting there heartbroken after a playoff loss to eliminate you at home. You don't want to get up. You don't want to move. You just kind of want to soak up those last few minutes at Cap One in the cold, iced air, and knowing you're not coming back till October. But that was the story last night. The Capitals, only the Capitals can do this. They scored two goals, probably outplayed their opponent, and lost a playoff game 2-1. That's hard to do. But correctly, the Connor McMichael offsides negated a very rare Matthew Roy goal. So Matty Roy's goal came back, and they lose 2-1. They had the puck in dangerous areas for the entirety of the third period. The amount of near misses, pucks that went just wide of the cage, blocks in front, bountiful. You just knew, Danny, with each of those opportunities that didn't result in the lamp getting lit, it's going to take the one rush the other way. I thought it'd be a really good scoring opportunity. I didn't think it would be one of the worst goals that Logan Thompson allowed all season long, but that's how it turned out in a game where he gave up
that.
A couple of soft serve ice cream goals. But they lose 2-1 to the Carolina Hurricanes. Carolina moves on. Tip of the cap to them. They were the better team in the series.
Yeah, they deserve to win it.
And the Capitals get eliminated in five.
But that's the story, and you said it very well. It's the you're never going to control all 60 minutes. These are NHL teams. When it's give everything you have time, the other team gets paid to play two, and they're good. Right? That's first round, second round. That's anywhere. Okay. The inability to convert, the inability to turn any of those times into goals with any consistency is why they're making golf reservations or going to Cabo or wherever it is that they're going to go. And it's a bummer because this is such a likable group. But yeah, I mean, you've seen that story before. And even if they win this game, it's still uphill. It's still, you know, you're asking them to do two more times against the team that they've struggled to win once against over the course of this series. So, you know, there's no guarantee if they win last night that they win the series, but would have loved to have seen it. But yeah, I mean, that's the story, right? I mean, you have, all you have to do is change the date, change some of the numbers and a couple of the names, Mad Lib style, and you can run it back.
As far as Washington last evening, I thought they got much better results in terms of being able to tilt the ice and get some opportunities. They just couldn't get enough shots on goal. But, Danny, it's hard to come away from last night and not think they waited too long to make the Lars Eller change, huh? A lot of us were calling for that. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like fans or media are smarter than the coach of the year, Spencer Carberry. But sometimes coaches are very loyal. Sometimes coaches feel like they don't want to send the wrong message or come off like they're panicking. It was pretty obvious last night. McMichael off the wing at center with Leonard and Mangiapane. That line was really good. The speed they provided was really good. I know they didn't play a ton on the ice. I think McMichael had like 13 minutes. They were the fourth used line, so to speak. But that line was so much better than it was with Lars Eller throughout the playoffs. And I mean on both ends of the ice, getting the puck out of the defensive zone, generating some chances offensively. Makes you wish they would have done that a little bit sooner, I gotta say.
Yeah, it's, you know, listen, you balance that. We don't want to do anything that's out of our character. We're good, too. We don't want to panic. We don't want to make an adjustment. I don't know why this series always comes up in my mind. But forever ago, the Mavericks were the number one seed in the West, and the Golden State Warriors, this is pre-Steph Curry, this is the Baron Davis, you know, Dikembe Mutombo group, they were the eighth seed, and they made Dallas play small. And Dallas was like, no, we're not going to play small. We're Dallas. This is what we do. And they lost the series because of it. So that was one of those, okay, you were too stubborn on that one. Then there's the first time the other team makes a run or the first time the other team has success against you, we got to change everything. And that looks like you're panicking and you don't really trust your group. So there's a fine line there as a coach, and it's always hard to make that decision. In retrospect, and even in regular time, easier for me to say without consequences here on the radio, I'd have done that much sooner. I just know to Lars Eller, even after the first round, I'd have been like, I'm good. I'm all set on this one. But I understand the pathology. I understand not wanting to look like you're panicking and adjust a bunch of different things. But maybe
and
after.
The hockey reasons, too.
Maybe after game two or game three, you go, okay,
late.
Now it's time.
It was too late, man. And they were a better team last night, pretty obviously. I thought the way they lined things up was the best it's been all series. And I thought that resulted in things you're looking for in terms of chances. Still, the lack of shots, a lot of that was Carolina's blocks or pucks that would sail wide of the net, and you got to put some of those on the goalie, put them on the pads, let Anderson have those big rebounds that he was giving you pretty much throughout the night. He was able to pounce on a lot of those. Our Caps Elite Player of the Game, we do it after every single Caps playoff game, so this will be the final time we give you this, sadly, on Grant and Danny this postseason. Presented by Elite Power and Energy Corporation, let Elite Power and Energy install a backup generator for you, and fill your propane tank so you don't lose power when the storm hits. 24/7 service, complete and powerful solutions. ElitePowerAndEnergyCorp.com. My Caps Elite Player of the Game from last night, I'll go Jacob Chychrun. I know he was a minus two on the ice for those two goals. I would just point out again that there were two bad goals given up. And I don't know, I'm guessing one of them was the empty netter, frankly. So maybe he was on the ice for one of the goals. I'd have to look. But he had a team-high four shots. He blocked two shots. He had a couple of hits. He was very active, joined the rush. I thought both ends of the ice, there were times where I noticed him and liked things that he was doing. I at times in this series, thought Chychrun, you know, would have these moments he wanted back. It was a tough series overall on the blue line defensively for the Capitals with the forecheck of Carolina. But I like Chickie's game last night, so I will give him my elite player of the game.
Anthony Beauvillier scored the goal, but it, you know, that's what it was going to take in this series and even last night to win that game. It's not these wonderful, beautiful scoring chances, video game style, with the difficulty turned down, were not going to be regularly available to this group. It's got to be that style of goal, and he got one last night.
Stinks that it's over, because this was an incredibly fun season. This was an immensely likable group. There's always multiple factions, I think, of Caps fans, and everyone's invited and welcome. But there are, I think, like the diehard Caps fans who have been watching the team all season, who I'm sure are in love with this group. This is as fun a team to support for this club, just speaking for myself, outside of maybe the Stanley Cup year as I can remember. Because they weren't supposed to be good, let alone really good. And then they were excellent. And a lot of people thought, including myself, Ovechkin probably wasn't going to break the record this year. And then not only did he break it, but he broke it despite missing 5 weeks with a broken leg because he was so damn good. And he had one of his best statistical offensive seasons ever in terms of how frequently he was scoring goals. So for a lot of reasons, this was an immensely memorable year. But I just loved this locker room, this dressing room. You know, coaches always say after the season ends, we remember when Dan Quinn said this, you see this all the time, it's kind of cliched. But at the end of a year when you don't win the championship or when you get eliminated, like, this group's never going to be back together. This is such a tight brotherhood a la the Commanders that that stinks, because I really did like this team. You got to make some changes. There are guys that are some dead weight. Their contracts, you're going to want off the books, what have you. But Spencer Carberry addressed this last night, and I couldn't agree with him more. I will remember this group, and it was a little bit more special because it was the 50th anniversary of Caps hockey for a long, long time.
This 50th anniversary Caps team will go down in history, and I'll just speak for myself, is this is one of the greatest seasons that I've ever been a part of as a coach or a player. And I'll never forget this group. But I told those guys, I love them, and Every single one of them, what we went through as a group this year and what they accomplished and O's record and everything that went into this season, I will never forget this group. Really, really memorable year.
Year one for Carberry, they weren't supposed to make the playoffs. They did. They get bounced in round one. Year two for Carberry, they weren't really supposed to make the playoffs. They did. They get to the second round. Maybe that bodes well moving forward into year three with some money to spend, the cap growing, some money coming off the books for some veterans who have been hurt and not available to you, and being able to tweak the roster again. But you got a really good head coach who's about to be named Coach of the Year. And there's a lot of talent on this team. And they've actually gotten younger on the fly here over the last couple of years with
it's
the development
amazing.
Of players like Protas and McMichael, you know, Dylan Strome in his 20s. Pierre-Luc Dubois is only 26 years old. I think people think he's older than he is. Like, they're in a pretty good place going into the offseason. And now they got to find a way to break through the second round again. That's going to be the goal, Danny, because, you know, as great as the year was, and I'm perfectly happy to make the case it was a massive success as an overall season. I mean, in the playoffs, you didn't get as far as you wanted to, and you came up small in a series where you and Carolina are pretty comparable. Everyone was picking this thing to go 7-6 games regardless. It only went 5. It probably could have, should have gone 6, but it didn't. You know, you lost in 5 games to a division rival that you had a better regular season against, and just looking at those facts, black and white, it's going to make it a little harder for them to stomach it today.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Thinking about the changes, I wonder how you do this as an evaluator, right? Where you go, this isn't broken, right? We don't need a massive overhaul. We don't need to panic. We don't need to make sweeping changes. And some of it, you're locked in. I mean, you know, you know who your goaltenders are for the next handful of seasons. I wish I had another option last night that would have been viable, besides Logan Thompson giving up a couple really soft goals. But not that you would have, not that you would have made a switch, but it's just like, damn, that one's frustrating. As the defensemen are struggling, as you said, throughout this series to get the pucks out of the zone, to move the pucks along. You know, Martin Fervori, I think, would have helped a lot, but still, he's only on the ice for a third of the game. You still have to cover the rest with certain guys. So I don't know. I don't know what kind of fixes and improvements. This front office is going to do a good job. I know that. They're going to find guys that other teams are saying no thank you to, or we can't fold them into our culture. You can here. Look at Pierre-Luc Dubois. Look at the million guys, time in memoriam, that they've got. The Brett Connolly corollary is what I call it, where a guy that's undervalued that no one really cares about shows up here, plays his best. That is kind of typical of them. They're going to do that again, and I have no doubt of that.
I say they're in a good spot going into the offseason. They're not losing a whole lot. So Backstrom comes off the books, free agent. He was on long-term IR, so they've already gotten a lot of that money, frankly. Same with TJ Oshie. But there's still a little bit of money that you pay out this year that you won't have to next year, so that gives you a little more cap space. Andrew Mangiapane was a $5-plus million player, almost $6 million. He made $5.8 million this year. He is okay. He is not worth $5.8 million. He was one of the few guys, frankly, they took on this year that maybe didn't deliver on how much they were paying him. So I think you let him walk, and that creates considerable cap space. The other free agent among the veterans is Lars Eller. And this is an area where you can get younger. You can get a little faster if they want to do that at center. He is 36 years old. He was a part of the 2018 Stanley Cup championship team. He'll be a hero forever because of that. But you thank him for his time. You shake his hand and let him walk. They've got two free agents I think they should try to keep. Anthony Bevilier, I think, is a no-brainer. And he'll be due for a raise, presumably. He made about $1.2 million. You saw him score huge goals both last night in the Montreal series, going back early on against the Canadiens. He's 27. He's got a lot of speed.
Yeah, his speed's the thing I want.
He's a pain in the ass for an opponent on the forecheck. So, like, I want more of that. So you got, you know, he fit in well with the Canes, basically. You know, he's one of their
Seriously.
Type of guys. So I think you try to keep him around. And then Taylor Radish, who's a $1 million player. There's a lot of guys like him floating around if he wanted to go in a different direction. But I think he fits the room well. He worked really well with Dowd and Duhaime. He's got some legal stuff he's dealing with right now that I don't know how much they're, you know, involved in, and if that's going to be a factor at all in him being here or not. But at 27 years old, unless you want to get a little bit younger with a version of him, I would be perfectly fine bringing him back and keeping him around. So those are your free agents. Their only restricted free agent, to my knowledge, is Alexander Alexiev, and either he leaves or you pay him a small raise from $825,000 and keep him. I'm fine with either of those. But they're able to kind of figure out the way they want to go. How do you want to build this roster? To your point, in terms of what they do next, I think you got to try to find a top six type offensive weapon. You know, when they went and got Dylan Strome is a good example, or the trade they made for Pierre-Luc Dubois is another one, where they don't try to just go sign a guy that's like 33 and for 2 years. What they like to do, Danny, is find a fit who in their mid to late 20s is still in their prime. Bring them in and pay them a good salary. And I hope they do that in the top six. They probably need depth on the blue line as well. Because as you said, you're one injury away from being thin. The Ferravari injury killed them. And then I thought Carlson, and he's 35 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've grown up with him. He's basically my age. He's been around forever. He slowed down this postseason. I don't know if he was banged up, hurt, or if that's just a long season taking its toll for an older body. But they could probably stand to add one more legitimate defenseman to help them out.
Anybody coming up from Hershey to fill some of these vacancies on the cheap so they can maybe make a more splashy move potentially?
Yeah, they've got good players. I mean, they have a system now, right? But they're, I would say the best talent that they have is a little bit further away, right? So you're talking about a defenseman in Cole Hudson, who's going to be here but is not at Hershey and is not going to be here next month, let's say. He's going back playing college hockey. Andrew Crystal puts up huge numbers below the level that Hershey's at in the minor leagues. Probably, you know, will be around in the building, training camp, everything else, but a couple seasons away. But the guys that you already know, you're talking about Hendricks LaPierre.
Yeah, the LaPierres, the Ethan Bears, the Marochnichenkos.
Bear, I don't have a lot of interest in. He was actually dressed and available had they have wanted him to be for the playoffs. But yeah, Ivan Marochnichenko would be a wing. He would be the most skilled kind of goal-scoring wing from Hershey if they wanted to call him up. And then if they wanted to replace Lars Eller with Hendricks LaPierre as like a third-line center, you could just do that internally, and it wouldn't cost money. They tried that at the beginning of the year, though, remember?
Yes, I do.
LaPierre was the center. They opted to not do that because he was struggling immensely. He hasn't played at the same level this year at Hershey as he did last year. And then they had to go trade and go get Lars Eller anyway because they felt like they needed more size or snarl or, you know, draws being won and defense being played. So, yeah, there are a couple of guys. I think it's more org depth that's ready right now than it is, like, star power.
Mm-hmm.
And the star power guys in the system, of which there are a few of those guys now, are a little further away, probably, and or just, you know, not going to be here early next season. But they've added some youth. They've added some speed. They're kind of doing it at the same time. So it's been a fascinating reworking. I guess they've never really rebuilt, but reloaded. And it's funny. A lot of people say they got to detonate. They got to blow it up. And that's always the thought right after you lose. But I don't see that very often in sports. When you're the number one team in your conference, when you're the number one team in the sport most of the year and you finish second, you're the number one seed in the playoffs, and then you blow it up. It's complicated with them because Ovi's so old. You know, Carlson,
yep,
their top defenseman, is at 36. You know, you've got a couple of guys with age that deeper into the playoffs sometimes start to slow
down. They wear down, yeah.
And that is a factor. I mean, it look, Ovechkin last night I thought was a minus. I mean, he did not help them. If he scores a goal, everything changes. And he did two nights ago or two games ago. But on games where he does, and he had some good shots, but outside of the shots, like keeping pucks in, there was a point where right before a penalty, he got beat so badly to a puck, you know, in the open ice sprint where it's just like so revealing. And you're like, ah, that's tough to watch.
Yeah, it's cringeworthy. And so for people that focus on the negative, that's all they'll see. They don't see the other value. But, you know, this...
It's a trade-off for almost 50 goals.
And that's kind of the point, is in a series like this, your best weapon is rendered useless. And that's why I thought Carolina was going to win it. Quite frankly, they take away the things that make you special, right? If you're the Capitals, right? That's why I thought this was a terrible matchup. Now, your response might be, you're probably going to have a terrible matchup at some point that you need to be able to overcome if you're the one seed, if you're going to live up to expectations. And I get that. I don't know the counter, but I'd rather have Ovi than not. Again, 44 goals that grow on trees.
No.
I don't care what age you are. I don't care if you're 26 or 46.
There's probably a real question asked, though. Like, does he need to be a top liner getting 17, 18 minutes? You know, the power play is always going to be there for him. And they, unlike every other team, just have him out there. They use one unit, essentially. He's out there for 2 minutes. I mean, do you start to maybe spell him a little bit more, thinking about the longevity of the season, the playoffs? I think that's a fair question.
Yeah, he'll be 40, yeah.
Could his line be, you know, deeper down the board where he plays just a heavy physical game and is a power play assassin and occasionally contributes, and then you have a couple of, you know, nicer defensive players with him or something like that where it's a, you know, a 10, 12-minute a night line. And I don't think that's coming next year, but is that in the offing at some point? Possibly. You saw that he was getting short-shifted and his role diminished as this series went on, and he was struggling. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But I also don't think... Like, everyone makes it such a Stephen A. Smith scream fest. Where's Ovechkin? He's 39 years old, man. It's not that crazy that at the end of a season that was as draining as this one is, like, it's part of it. You're 39. He's not a defenseman. You know what I mean? He's a wing and a goal scorer who plays a ton of minutes and is on the ice for long stretches of time with the power play and otherwise, like, yeah, you're going to wear down a little bit as the year goes on.
The other thing I would add to that, again, almost like preemptively addressing the shouty shows, if and when they do cover this, it's not as if the rest of the Capitals are having this banner series. Do you know what I mean? Like, I understand he's the lead goose. He's the headliner.
Yeah, most he makes the $9 million, yeah, and he wears the C, so he's the record setter. More heat.
Sure. But I guess my point is, it's not as if, like, I don't know, I'm using a basketball analogy. Say Nikola Jokic doesn't have a great series, and Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon carry them for a couple of games, and Denver's on the verge of elimination because Jokic can't get right. If that's happening, hey, let's say, hey, Jokic is choking here. He's not doing well. That's not the case. No, nobody. Right. In this series gets to go, I had a great series. Like, some people were okay. Some people had some nice moments, but Carolina shoved it on you. You know what I mean? Like, there's nobody that went, Dylan Strome, I had my 9 points and we couldn't get it done. Nobody did anything. Yeah. Everyone was minus.
Last night, you lost 3-1, but there were two goals scored against you, you know, that beat you. Mm-hmm. And they were both bad goals that shouldn't have been given up. Now, you can kill Logan Thompson for those goals, but you also have to acknowledge the season he had, and everybody would. And I just do the same with Ovechkin, and for whatever reason, that bothers people. But, yeah, he didn't play well in this series, and he didn't play well last night. I thought he actually played poorly for much of last night. But doesn't change the bigger picture for me, what he's meant, not just all time to this organization, but even this season. And they don't get where they got. They're not a one seed. They're not winning the East. They're not winning the Metro without him. And the idea of, like, addition by subtraction, people sleep on how important a 50-goal scorer is. It's a pretty big deal. You know, every team would sign up for that. But let's open up the phones for a postmortem conversation here at 800-636-1067 on the Capitals. The autopsy begins, poking the body a little bit here. 800-636-1067. They get eliminated last night, 5-game series. What went wrong against the Canes? And I guess let's get into whether or not this season was a success. Because already today, I've had several people within either text or come up to me and say either that they thought that it was a letdown, it was a bad run, whatever. I want to discuss that. Was the season a success for the Capitals? You're listening to The Fan.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast, What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Credit to Freddie Anderson. I thought he was a better goalie this series. I think I could have been better and, you know, made a couple saves, you know, in Raleigh and definitely tonight. And yeah, it sucks. It's a good team. So tip your hat to them.
Logan Thompson. I loved everything he had to say last night. He stepped up to the plate, figuratively, I suppose, but he stepped up to the microphone and essentially said, I got to be better. I'm a grown up. I have to deal with the fact that I allowed 2 goals I shouldn't have allowed. There are a lot of other reasons why you lose the game, though. You didn't score. You got to score to win, people. You got to shoot the puck to score. You got to get pucks on goaltenders so that they make the mistakes that Logan Thompson made last evening. There is blame to go around, obviously.
Hands are clean.
If he's normal Logan Thompson, that's probably a shutout, and you probably win the game 1-0 last night. But when you only score a goal, it's hard to blame the goaltender all that much. But we're not really necessarily just looking at the one game. If you want to dive into the series, we could do that. 800-636-1067. Danny, the question is, was this season a success? I mean, for me, the answer is a rousing yes. Nobody, and I mean nobody, thought the Capitals were going to be one of the better teams in the conference. They didn't even really have a chance to win the Metro. You go back to the beginning of the year, look at The Athletic or whichever your publication is that you like their hockey coverage, ESPN. They were bottom 5, bottom 7 in a lot of power rankings coming into the year. The fact that they made the playoffs was shocking, let alone being the number one team in the Metro, being the number one team in the East, and for most of the year until the Ovi chase became the priority late, being the number one team in the National Hockey League. So it is hard for me to say anything other than that this was a huge success, but now you've got to build on it. Mm-hmm. You can't get back into a, you know, you make the playoffs one year, you don't the next mode. You got to the playoffs last year and lost in the first round. You added this year to the second round. Let's keep the trajectory going with Carberry. Next year, you got to get to a conference final or further. But I love the fact that a year ago, it seemed like they might need to do some significant refurbishing and rebuilding. And it no longer really feels that way because, unlike last year at this time, Danny, Connor McMichael's a stud. Alexi Protas is a star. You were able to bring in pieces like Dubois and like Bevilier at the trade deadline and like Roy defensively and like Chychrun, who you've since extended, and like Logan Thompson, who are long-term building blocks. So they're very close again, and now you got some money to try to put the finishing touches on this thing.
So this is all a matter of perspective in terms of success or not. To me, it's a success because Ovi set the goal record. That happened, and that was so delightful. That was incredible. The year that a 39-year-old, the greatest goal scorer ever to live, no debate anymore, thank you, please, broke his leg, he still set the goals record. That makes this year a success. Besides that, though, over a 21-year period, the Capitals made the playoffs 18 times, got to one Stanley Cup final. Those other years, one conference final, too, where they lost. The other 16 years, they lost in the first or second round. That was from 1982 to 2003. That was pre-Rock the Red. This era has been almost identical to that. 7 second-round exits, 9 first-round exits to go over the course of their, 8 first-round exits, and then one Stanley Cup Finals appearance. The difference is they won that Stanley Cup. They got that one breakthrough. That happened. That took all the poison away from me, took all my venom away, took all my angst, my woe was me, my it's DC's turn, any kind of tantrum or whatever that I might throw. So relative to their history, this is it. This is what they do. And we'll talk about all the processes, which are good. They'll talk about all the players, which are good, and everything they've done is right. If there was some secret formula, I'd hand it to them, and maybe this would be different. But given their history, to me, the variable this year was Ovechkin setting that record. So, yeah, to me, it's a success, but it's also kind of given the 50 years of this franchise, the 20-year periods that we dealt in pre-Rock the Red and during this Rock the Red era, this is it. So, yeah, I would say it's a success.
So I'm confused, though, with the first part. You're saying when you grade this season, you were talking a lot about history. So for you, this season is not its own entity. You're talking about the 50-year sample? Or
no, I'm comparing it to there have been two distinct 20-year periods. One's 21 years. That's the time that a lot of Caps fans don't even know happened, by the way, from when I was a kid. And then this Rock the Red era. So in 20 years of Ovechkin, they've gone to the playoffs 16 out of the 20 years, lost in the first round, 15 of those 20. First or second round, rather, 15 of those 20. Made it to one cup final. That's their breakthrough. That happened.
Right.
So holding them to that standard, given their history, I think is probably folly. I'll have fun next year. I'll watch them play, and we'll go through it. And I just don't have the anger that, oh, this sucks. It's a failure. I got a humongous sample. I got 41 years of hockey data that says once every 20 years, they break through, get to the finals, do something that they don't normally do. The rest of the time, this is kind of what it is.
So I guess we get to the same result very, very differently. I view the season as its own entity, right? It's a different group almost entirely.
Totally.
And it's the coaching staff has been here now for 2 seasons. But for me, when you're asking me, was this season a success, how could I possibly answer that without looking solely at what were the expectations and what did we think this team was and then what did they do? That's really all that matters for this season. It's not about last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 15 years ago. When the season began, what someone fairly plugged in that follows them in the offseason and has a pretty good idea of their roster, what I was hoping for was I want Ovi to break the record, which I didn't think was going to happen this year, but I thought he had a good chance to. And I hope they make the playoffs, that they're not doing that as this middling team that ends up missing the playoffs. Because even though they got into the playoffs last year, barely, they got outscored by almost 40 goals in differential on the way.
Mm-hmm.
For them to have not only surpassed that, but not narrowly, I mean, they were arguably the best team in the NHL in the regular season. It's a massive success. The only way you could say it isn't, in my opinion, the only way, and we'll get to the phones on this, and I'll be curious to hear what people think, 800-636-1067, is if you recalibrate after the end of the regular season and now you go, you're a one seed, you're the best team in the East, you better get to the conference final or else, dot, dot, dot. And that, for me, doesn't work because I just don't view the hockey playoffs that way. And that frustrates a lot of people that don't see it the same way I do, and that's okay. You're allowed to be frustrated. But I don't view it as football or basketball or baseball where, like, the better team is favored and should win. They were the underdog in this series. You want to play that game, I'll tell you they were the underdog against the Hurricanes. You know, they weren't supposed to win this series. But the only way you could say it's a failure or not a success or something is it was a quote-unquote early exit because they were the best team in the East. And if that's how you want to evaluate it, that's fine. You move the goalpost at the end of the regular season, you're allowed to do that. I don't have such a thing as when you're punching above your weight class all year and you're in the first year of whatever this new look operation is, like the expectations of cup or bust. And I mean, look at the Vegas Golden Knights who got eliminated a day or two before the Capitals. This happens in hockey all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of it, man. That you have less control over the result as a team than in any other sport. Doesn't mean you have no control. I'm not suggesting that. Doesn't mean they played a good series against Carolina. I'm not suggesting that. But you could outplay a team in every single game and lose every single game, and we've seen it dozens of times over the years. Let's go with Andrew in Stafford on Grant and Danny. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, Grant. I'm with you on this one. It was, you know, Obi, the record was fantastic, and this team was awesome to watch. I don't think I missed one or two games the whole year, and I think the thing that really got me was the shooting percentage stat they flashed during the game last night. And that's the other team putting it to you. You know, when you lead the league in shooting percentage and goal differential for most of the year, and then all of a sudden the other team can cut that almost in half, your shooting percentage and your shots on goal, I don't know how you overcome that.
Yeah, they were the second best team in this series, and they finished in second.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy. Sometimes there have been times, Danny, where I remember watching them play the Penguins or the Rangers or whatever, and we get to an end of a series, they get eliminated, and it is so maddening and heartbreaking because I really think they were the better team and they got eliminated. I didn't have that feeling last night. It's actually going to be way easier for me to move on from this because it's a tip your cap series. This is a Carolina was better and deserved to win the series.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier when you just, you know, you get into a fight and you get knocked out. I think that's a little bit easier.
Yeah, the bigger, stronger guy who was trained in jiu-jitsu, whoop my ass. Yep.
When nobody gets knocked out, and I should have won on the cards, but I'm told that I lost on the cards. That one's a little bit tougher. Let's go to Johnny in Fredericksburg. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, man, thank you for taking my call. I think overall the season was a success, but I will say moving forward, I don't think as long as Ovi and Carlson are on the team, we're just going to win another one. And it's because as the season progresses and the playoffs get more intense, like these passes got to be crisper. The reaction time has got to be, you know, way faster. And they just have to play faster. And I just don't think that they have, based on this series, they don't have the additional gear to take it up a notch. And they take up so much of our cap space and everything. And I love Ovi, man. Like, I love this team. I've been watching them for 20-plus years, but it's a long time. You know, he's like almost 40, you know. And that's all I really much got to say about that.
Yeah, they both have 1 year left on their deal. I'll be curious to see on the back end of that what happens because they both play at a high level throughout the regular season. Ovi was, you know, the Rocket Richard winner if he didn't break his leg and was out for 5 weeks. And Carlson logs huge minutes and plays much of the season at an all-star level as a, you know, plus offensive defenseman. But yes, there's just no doubt at the end of these years, if they're healthy, that's the caveat. We never know because hockey doesn't really say. But if those guys were both healthy, the way they played in the postseason, it puts a bad taste in your mouth. You know, going into the offseason for sure. But when you're 39 and you're 36 and you log those kind of miles, it stands to reason. It does get a little bit harder, which is why I think the roles ideally shift, where Carlson's not giving you 24 to 26 minutes and maybe he's, you know, a pair down from where he was or down lower and you can rely a little bit more on the smarts and the acumen and the being around the block. Ovi's role changes maybe moving forward. 800-636-1067 is the number. Was the cap season a success? That's the question the day after they got eliminated in 5 games by the Hurricanes.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't feel like we play bad hockey in North Carolina. You know, first period, we have first 10 minutes, we have so many chances to get a lead and turn this game in our way, but, you know, we didn't. And obviously, it's a tough, but, you know, that experience that we have this year will help for the future 100%.
That's the NHL's all-time leading goal scorer, Alex Ovechkin, just the one goal. In five games against Carolina, came on a 5-on-3. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, on the Fan. On the itinerary today, coming up at the top of the hour, a little over 10 minutes from now, you're Adam Peters for a day. What one move are you making for the Commanders? We'll get to that in the 3 o'clock hour. We're going to play a little game, Do I Know the Band, at 5 o'clock. Danny's lining up some songs that I should know, apparently.
Yes.
And then you're going to play them on the radio?
That's what we'll do.
And I've got to tell you what band performed that music?
That's pretty much it, and okay. The callers will predict whether you know it or not. So most of the time, they'll say no, and most of the time, they'll be right, but there's that one time.
Plus, in just a few, I want to hear about Darius's season simulation for the Commanders via Madden that went off the rails a little bit. Let's go to Ron in D.C. You're on the Fan. What's up, Ron?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
I'm a diehard Caps fan since 1974 when I was 8 years old.
Day one, baby.
This was a wildly successful regular season by any measure you want to look at it. And the disappointing part of it is that they had played so well, so consistently this year, that when they got to this round, they looked like they did not even belong on the ice with the Canes. And that's the disappointing part of it. And the other issue I have going forward is I would love to see Marissa Tinko.
Yvonne Reshnichenko,
And LaPierre come up and have Ryan Leonard, and he can have the proverbial kid line for their third line, where you got more speed, you're more skill, and give them a chance to develop at this level like they gave McMichael, and they gave why am I blanking on the name? The kid that played on the first line. Protus, yeah. I don't know why I'm blanking.
Yeah, right.
Those guys got a chance to play, and they just gradually got better over time. Give these other guys a chance to play.
It's the hardest thing to do. I appreciate you, as always, dude. The hardest thing to do, I think, in sports is to do both. And what I mean by both is rebuild and compete at the highest level. It's time immemorial. What usually happens to organizations is you ramp up, you got a window that opens, you try to keep it open as long as possible. Eventually, you overpay a few guys, a couple of the heroes from the age, you know, start to age, the core gets a little rotten, and you got to go, okay, out the door, we got to start all over again, right? And you rebuild again. Sometimes you do it on the fly. You retool as you're going, and the Caps have managed to do that. But it's hard to say, give the kid a chance. It's like, we don't have that kind of time. We got a guy chasing down the goals record with the number one seed in Eastern Conference. Giving the kid a chance, that means, what, 30, 40, 50 games? We don't have time for that. That's harder to do.
Yeah, if there's they did last year, honestly, to be frank. I mean, when they got outscored by 37 goals and stuck into the playoffs and immediately got swept, they played a lot of kids. I think there were at one point in time 11 different guys that they played that had come up from Hershey in their own system. And they got to figure out who they liked, who they didn't, who's ready, who isn't. They gave LaPierre as the example.
Mm-hmm.
They gave LaPierre the third-line center role to start the season, and he came up small in their opinion, so they went and got Eller. I mean, they have kind of mixed and matched and tried it, but they're not going to go fully with the youth when they've got a chance to be a number one team in the conference and win a playoff series. And, you know, I think they'd tell you if the series started with Carolina, that they would see where it went, you know, if it started over tonight. Like, they feel like they got a chance to make noise with this group, understandably, after being the number one team in the conference. Let's go to Ian in Vienna on G&D. What's up, Ian?
This season was a failure. I do not watch team sports to watch an individual success accolade. If that's the goal, to get Ovechkin the all-time goal scoring record, great. It was an A++ season. But you can't turn around and say, hey, we're the one seed and do all these call segments of why is no one expecting us to do anything in the playoffs, underachieve relative to your seed, and then say the season was a success. Your best players have to show up in the best moments. Danny, he was 39 years old in the Montreal series where he was amazing. He scored. He had 5 points, 4 goals, 1 assist in 5 games. They won the series in 5 games. In this series, he's also 39 years old. He had 1 goal on a 5-on-3, like you said. That's not good enough. You guys did call.
Which we said. I mean, of course, it's not good enough. But you said it can't be a success. How is that? When the season began, they were not supposed to do well. And I understand you don't think it's a success. You're one of the biggest trolls of all time. You said to trade him.
You can call me names.
No, I'm not calling you names. You just troll DC Sports constantly. I'm not calling you names. But you said they should trade him. They didn't, luckily. Then you said they would never compete again as long as he was on the team. That was wrong. Then I think you alleged that when he went and rode the camels, he did something illegal. Like, you obviously don't want Ovi on the team anymore, which is fine. But why wasn't this a success when they weren't supposed to be good and then they were?
Because you can recalibrate. If you're the one seed, if you're saying they're a success, so let me ask you this, Grant.
Yes.
If they had lost the Montreal series 4-0, and would you have said, hey, it's a success because we never expected them to be in the playoffs at all?
Was the season a success? I think I would say yes, because they well overachieved. It would be a harder case to make, I would say, than getting further than they have in 8 years.
Right. So, again, I would trade Ovechkin. They haven't contended for anything since they won the one Stanley Cup. Being a one seed and losing in the second round is not contending. I don't know what your definition of contending is.
Well, we have different definitions of contending. If you don't think winning your division, being the number one team in the conference, being in the playoffs and winning a round, getting to the second round, if you don't think that's being a contending team, you're right. We have very different definitions of contending.
And by your logic, 8 teams are contending.
Yeah, eight yes. In a 32-team sport, if you're in the final 8, I'd say you're contending. That's true.
Yeah, well, and that's just a definitional thing, and we can just agree to disagree because I don't think 25% of your sport is contending. I think it's more like 10% of your sport, the conference finalist, the Stanley Cup finalist. But again, the Ovechkin era, if we're doing the larger point, which Danny brought up, you, in some ways, 2018, if that's it for you, he achieved. If it's not, there's the commonality isn't the coaches, the GMs, anything, the supporting cast. It's Ovechkin and playoff underachievement. And if you saw that last goal they gave up, they perfectly showed it with Ovechkin completely lollygagging on the play. And it was so symbolic of the Ovechkin era. If he scores, it's great. But if he doesn't, he's a minus-minus player. And they got a minus-minus result. 5 games and losing at home, that's just not good enough.
So I think some of what you just said about him at 39 is probably true. It's certainly not true from 10 and 12 years ago. But you're doing the basketball thing for hockey, which doesn't work. LeBron is on the floor for 44 minutes of 48 minutes in a game.
Controlling both ends.
20% of the people that are on the court at any given moment. Ovechkin, when there's goaltending involved, see like a pitcher in baseball. When you're on and off the ice, you're not even playing a third of the game. There's just less control over the outcome than in other sports. So, again, it's just a philosophical difference, but I at least want to acknowledge for the people that don't know, I mean, this is a several-year thing for you. The argument has shifted depending on if he's doing it legally and if he should be on the team and if he's the priority or not, but that's fine. But this season was a failure for you the moment they didn't win the cup. And so we just view things differently. You're a win-the-championship or it's a failure guy. That's not me. And doesn't mean I'm right. It just means we view things very differently.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the point that the playoffs are the thing we emphasize in American sports culture. Who had the best NFL regular season record 3 years ago? No one remembers. But we remember that the Rams won it and the Chiefs won it, etc. So by that definition, I totally understand that. It makes it hard to get excited for regular season when we know it's not really predictive of playoff results.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Next, Danny, you get to be Adam Peters for a day.
Here we go.
We're all going to play GM for one day and get to make one Commanders move, including you guys out there in Radio Land. What is your one move going to be? You're listening to The Fan.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.